Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the reading from Mark chapter 5. I read for you again these words. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved in Christ, the only Savior of the world, tonight we continue looking at the ancient hymn, O Love, How Deep, and how our enemies, the demons, rage against us. We talked about angels during midweek of Lent 1 and demonstrated how Jesus, in becoming man, is both a little lower than the angels and yet is the ultimate servant of all as the Son of Man. But there's no real discussion about angels without including demons. Demons, after all, are fallen angels. They followed Satan when he rebelled against God and was cast down from heaven. Now you need to know that demons are not TV characters. They are not cartoons with red pointy tails and horns. They are very real, and they are nothing to scoff at. The episode before us in our reading demonstrates this all too well. As an agent of death, this unclean spirit had possessed this man. He was most at home among death and the grave. And no one could do anything about it. No number of shackles or chains could restrain this man with a demon. This poor man was completely helpless, trapped in this awful plight. All the demon wanted to do was torture and hurt this man and any others who might get too close. So why do demons so hate us? Well, quite frankly, they hate us because God created man as the crown of his creation. But they especially hate us because God himself became one of us. They hate us because Christ, the Son of God and Son of Mary, became human flesh and blood. He came to defeat sin and death and hell. And Jesus did so by becoming one of us and one with us. So when this demon sees Jesus from afar, he knows that the gig is up. He knows that his time may be cut short. And miraculously, he goes to plead with Jesus. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. The demon most certainly knows who Jesus is. And so he implores Jesus to swear that the demon would not be tormented. Now, at first glance, we might have sympathy for the demon. After all, what did he do besides simply dwell on this man? But make no mistake, this demon wanted nothing more than to hurt and harm not only the man, but also everything and everyone around him. This was no gain at all. In a way, we often treat our pet sins, our temptations, and even our worst sins much like this demon. After all, they aren't that bad, are they? Go on to other things, that sinful voice may say. Go on and deal with other problems. The demon will be there when the time comes. This, however, is not how our Lord addresses the demon. Quite simply, Jesus says, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." The 20th century pastor and theologian Herman Sasse puts it this way. Every pastor knows, or should know, that there are cases when a discussion is impossible, and the only answer to a question can be that, "Be gone, Satan," with which Jesus spoke not only to the devil, but also to his faithful confessor, Simon Peter. Not every question can be settled by means of a friendly discussion. It is necessary to remember that in an age which has a superstitious belief in dialogue as the infallible means of settling everything, there are questions raised by the devil to destroy the church of Christ. What this means in plain English is that you don't argue or bargain with a demon. You simply tell it to be silent and go away. And this applies not only to literal demons. It also applies to the temptations, the niggling problems and weaknesses that we each have. We want to rationalize. We want to talk about it, be reasonable, and try to come to some kind of compromise that will allow us to keep on sinning, to keep on living in the domain of Satan and the world. After all, it's only a little thing. How bad can it be? How many problems can it really cause? This is why Jesus did say to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." At some point, you have to simply own the problem, own that the problem is nothing short of satanic, and that it must be cast out. So, cast out the temptation and the little demons that seem to have you caught up in yourself. Repent. Turn around and leave them behind you. You don't need them. Christ has already died for them, those sins, so that they are no longer yours. They're His. Recognize that those things that you cling to, the things that bring you down and cause you no end of trouble, they can be gone. As surely as the sun rises in the east, Christ has taken your sins into Himself. And Jesus Christ says to all of them, "Come out of him. Come out of her, for she is mine." When you come to recognize the work Jesus does, your view of the world, your life, indeed everything begins to change. You begin to see how God orders all things, so that you might be saved by faith and trust in Him. And so we come here repeatedly. We come and receive forgiveness of sins from this altar, from these words, Jesus' words. God gives you peace that passes all understanding, a conscience at rest, and a life restored. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen.